has fallen and blown, and we know it melted, bringing fear. Birds are here in the land. The sun is gone, the land is brown, the river now is flowing. Buddy, girl, you were gone from my
And you're still listening to the Nardwar, the Human Serviette Radio Show. And we have a caller on the line. Hello, are you there, caller?
I am here. How's it going?
Who are you?
My name is Andrew Morrison, and I play with the band called the Jerrycans, and we just arrived in this chaotic city of Vancouver. We're country boys trying to figure our way around this big city.
Who are the Jerrycans right off the bat? Please introduce the Jerrycans.
The Jerrycans are Jerrycans. We're the Jerrycans from Iqaluit, Nunavut. We're a band that plays kind of folky, strange, Inuktitut throat singing, country, throw a bunch of words out there, music, and dance music. And we have been on a little bit of a tour across Canada, venturing out of the Great White North into the Great Green South, and we're very happy and excited to be in Vancouver for the Folk Festival.
On Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday and tomorrow.
What time tomorrow and what time Sunday if people want to check you out? Do you know yet?
We play at 11:15 in the morning tomorrow, so that would be a bit of an early one. But we play at about 10:15 on Sunday, closing down one of the stages, so that'll be super fun.
The Jerrycans from Iqaluit, and to begin the Nardwar to Human Serviette Radio Show, Andrew, this is Andrew from the Jerrycans, right? Like, you really are the Jerrycans, right?
I hope so. I hope I'm still in the band after this interview.
How do you prove that you're from Iqaluit? Because to begin the Nardwar to Human Serviette Radio Show, I played Surgeons of the Night, a band apparently from Iqaluit, and their cover of Patio Lanterns by Kim Mitchell. It says they're from Iqaluit. Do you know a punk band called Surgeons of the Night from Iqaluit?
I do not know them, but maybe there's a major underground music scene that I haven't heard of them, but it's a very, very small town, so I don't know. I don't know them.
Because it made me think, how do you really prove that you're from Iqaluit?
It's very good, because I'm a white guy, too, so it's even more complicated. My story does not check out, but I don't have the scars to prove it, but I'm pale enough to be from the north, so that's one way to prove it, but otherwise I don't really know.
Because Surgeons of the Night, on their band camp, they say Iqaluit, so I was thinking, they must know the Jerrycans, but you don't know them. So I guess it's a scene that underground. There are people that don't know the Jerrycans. I'm assuming everybody knows the Jerrycans there.
Yes, everybody does, but I might go out on a limb and say that other band isn't from Iqaluit, but who knows? Maybe we'll find out.
And right after that, I played Northern Haze, and they're from Igloolik.
Yeah, Igloolik, yeah.
Have you heard of Northern Haze? They're a metal band from 1977.
Absolutely. They are not only a metal band, they are the metal band in Nunavut, and they're still playing, and they're probably the hardest rocking band in all of Canada. They're so good, and they play... they are a major inspiration for all of the young people, metalheads up north. They're very cool guys.
And right after that, I followed up with a track from the Native North American compilation. Have you heard about this Native North American compilation put out on Light in the Attic Records?
Yes, I have. I have. I hear it's awesome.
I played Sugluk with I Didn't Know. Sugluk. On the Native North American compilation.
Yeah, and you're doing great, Nardwar. You're great. You're halfway to fluency.
And we're going to be playing a track all about you, Andrew, learning how to speak the language, right?
Yes. It's called Kadwingituk, and it's about my learning Inuktitut has been one of the funnest, most insane, crazy, difficult things I've ever done as a white guy. And but it's still been definitely worth it. And I, of course, learned because my wife, Nancy, who's the throat singer in the band, her father was a unilingual Inuktitut speaker. He didn't speak a word of English, only swear words. And so to impress the in-laws, that was the major propeller for my Inuktitut learning. So this song is kind of about why I do it, what we do, and kind of what we're all about.
What swear words did they have that we don't have in English?
They don't have very many ones. There's not the pure one. I think swear words are wonderful in English, but there's not that same kind of emphasis in Inuktitut. But he only knew English swear words. Inuktitut, there's not so many. There's just sort of, you senseless idiot. Tukikangi. That's one of the more insults rather than swear words. They're more insults.
And
more
he was into belly dancing too? He was into belly dancing?
Oh, God. He loved to watch belly dancing. He didn't belly dance himself, but my goodness, he was into it. Every morning at 4 a.m. before we go seal hunting, we turn on the Oprah Winfrey Network and watch some belly dancing.
Just for a little background, I'm speaking to Andrew from the Jerry Cans playing the Vancouver Folk Music Festival this weekend. Iqaluit, where is it? Can you tell the people, in case they don't know, just a little background, like where it is? Like, it is far away. You're in Vancouver now, Richmond, but where is it? How far have you come?
Vancouver, it's super far from Vancouver. I keep telling people if you make your way to Montreal or Ottawa, if you somehow drive that way all the way across, it's take a left and go for 2,500 kilometers. It's way up there on Baffin Island. We had a polar bear in downtown Iqaluit yesterday and beluga whales right off the shore. So it's there's no trees, of course, but it's quite a far way. I think Vancouver is literally across the country. Very, very far away from home, but we're not doing too bad.
Can you take a boat to it, or is it only airplane?
Only airplane. You can take every summer to get all our supplies for the year. They sea lift everything up in big cargo ships. So you can take the boat up very rarely. Not many passengers take that, but you fly mostly. It's all fly-in.
And I'm talking to you, Andrew, from the Jerry Cans from Iqaluit, because of a mineral conference. Thanks to Nick, my buddy Nick, from the band The Transmiters and The Vicious Circles and The Smugglers. He was at a minerals conference. Please explain, how is this happening? A minerals conference has brought us together?
A minerals conference, just like the prophecy spoke. That's exactly all how it's supposed to be. No, he was up there, and he was by far the best and the worst dancer at the show. So we said, we have to get to know this guy. And it was a mining conference. And as you can imagine, in a town of 7,000 people, performance opportunities are few and far between. So we always like to take what we can to kind of get things moving. And so we were at this conference, and Nick was showing off his dance moves. And we had a beer afterwards. And then he said, I know this guy named Nardwar, and we all know you. And so it all came together.
So thank you, Minerals Conference. I never thought like a Minerals Conference would help set up guests for the Nardwar to Human Surfiat radio show. But thank you, Nick. And Nick's, so you noticed Nick's dancing first, and then you talked to him? Or did he talk to you, and then did he dance?
I think my wife noticed Nick's dance moves first. So that's how that went down. But yeah, we talked to him. He was there. He was drinking beer. We were drinking beer. Nobody else was drinking beer, so we had something in common.
You also played a gig at a giant snow castle. Where was that? It looked incredible. A giant snow castle?
That was one of the trippiest venues we've ever played. And I don't know if we'll ever be able to do that again. It was in Yellowknife. And for the Snow King Festival, there's a man called King, aptly called King, who builds a giant snow castle every year. And they invited us to play. And where we're from, they have these traditional boots made of sealskin called kamiks. And I've never been able to wear those without overheating, except at the snow castle. So it was the perfect venue for more traditional performing outfits.
Your favorite place, though, is the Legion, which is the most popular Legion in Canada, at least monetarily successful?
Yeah, absolutely. The Legion is the place. And when you come and visit us, we'll sign you in, because you need a sign-in, of course. It's a far cry from the Legions of the South with our old veterans playing darts. It's a dance club and the main music venue in town, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place.
What radio can you get up in Iqaluit? Are there like wave skips where you get all sorts of weird radio? Because I heard it's like the wave skips. What radio can you get? I know like there's the internet, but just general radio or TV.
There used to be a beautiful culture of pirating radio up north. So people would just pirate a bunch of stuff. They used to just put up antennas and get everything from Britain or Australia or wherever. But now there's some commercial junk radio. And then there's CBC North, which is a major part of each community. The radio is still a big method of communication. And TV, satellite, we have the satellite, the usual stuff like that. But radio is a big thing up there.
But are there any weird wave skips at night, you know, because of the atmosphere where you pick up stuff all the way from the southern hemisphere? I'm just wondering, just because where you are, if there's weird radio coming in.
Not much. It's more weird technical difficulties because it's so far damn up north. So damn far up north, and there's no weird radio skips, not usually.
Nancy did like a Canadian heritage promo for Canada Day, I saw.
Yeah, she did. She did. She did that. I think we always have a way that our things are very normal to us are very interesting for others. She was just carrying baby in her back, in her amautik. That's the jacket that carries the baby. There's a big hood with baby in the back, and we said, damn, we're late on this damn promo thing. Do you want to do it right now? So we stepped outside, and she said in Inuktitut, which is our working language, and she said, did her intro, and that was it. And we sent it off, and they said it thought it was magnificent. So that's kind of our story. The things that we try and share a little bit about what normal life is like in the north, and it's quite different, but also there's lots of interesting similarities, too.
And the Jerry Cans gig, Andrew, was broadcast on CPAC, I saw. Like, normally it's like the political channel, and you got broadcast on CPAC.
I know. It was a bit crazy because I always change the channel really fast when I watch CPAC. But I guess, yeah, it was broadcast on national. That was our first time on national TV, singing about how delicious seal meat was in Inuktitut. So we thought that was kind of cool.
Where did you get that green coat that she was wearing, that Nancy was wearing? Where did she get that? It's like that cool green coat. Where do you get that?
I don't know. I think she, her aunt made it for her, actually. That's kind of a tradition, is when people have kids, babies, their aunts and their grandmothers make them those traditional baby-carrying clothes. And so we have a few different ones, and that's a beautiful, beautiful one, with nice fox fur all around the top, and handmade, all handmade.
I guess I was curious about Canada Goose coats. Are there many Canada Goose coats there?
There are, but we can always tell when the Canada Goose, it's a Canada Goose coat, but we also sometimes call them geese because it's often the southerners that come up for a short time and they migrate north and then they migrate right back down south after that. So we see them once in a while, but they're kind of telling you're not being from there.
Because there's some fake ones from China that are filled with, like, factory scraps that end up being, like, chicken feathers and poop, and they don't work properly. Have you seen people trading them in? You don't think they work that well?
Well, you see some people that kind of move up there and stay, and maybe they got the cheap ones because they're maybe cheaper because it's super expensive up north, as with real Canada Goose, I assume. But you see them slowly transition from the cheap Canada Goose to the more northern style homemade parkas or down feathers from up north parkas. And I don't know. I haven't ever smelled chicken poop on the people up there, but maybe it's cold, so maybe the scent is kind of dampened a little bit.
Andrew from the Jerry Cans playing the Vancouver Folk Music Festival tomorrow and Sunday from Iqaluit. Do you guys like Morrissey?
I don't know. I don't even know who that is or what that is.
Morrissey, the Smiths, the gentleman that has the stance on certain animals that you mentioned earlier that you were talking about on CPAC.
Oh, I don't know. We don't know. We are very much happy to eat seals and whales and all of those wonderfully delicious animals, and we kind of like to start there and then worry about those other guys later.
Has anybody done the opposite? Like, for instance, what I was talking about, at some Morrissey gigs, some people, like, eat hamburgers in protest because he says meat is murder. So they bring, like, McDonald's burgers to his gig. Does anybody bring anything that's anti-seal to your gig just to upset you? Like, what is anti-seal? Like a tofu burger. Like, throw a tofu burger at you. Like, you should eat a tofu burger instead of seal. Has anybody done that to you ever?
Not yet, but I actually wouldn't mind at all. We have a recovering anti-sealing protester in our band, which is kind of a complicated level, but she would probably eat the tofu burger. We all probably would eat it, but nobody has done that yet, throw tofu juice on us or anything while we're playing. No, but maybe they'll get inspired in Vancouver and we'll get a little action.
Who is Polar Man?
Oh, Polar Man, Derek, and he's we all grew up. We remember the day when Polar Boy became Polar Man. And he is not living in Iqaluit anymore. He's moved to Kingston to improve the community down there. And but he was very much a wonderful part of Iqaluit, helping people out, shoveling people's driveways, helping elders with their groceries. A very, very good superhero. He was a superhero.
Has he saved you at all?
He hasn't, but he's told me some very good stories. And we'd have snowball fights, all of us. We'd all have good snowball fights, as there's no shortage of snow up there. He has not saved me, but I will ask my drummer. I think he may have saved our drummer once or twice.
There's some interesting characters in Iqaluit. For instance, the Arctic Elvis. Who is Jimmy Echo, the Arctic Elvis?
Jimmy Echo is one of our, he's passed away, the late Jimmy Echo. He's passed on now, but he is one of our wonderful, wonderful inspirations. He was one of the guys that was really doing performing. He had a full-on sealskin Elvis costume, and you find me another one of those in the world and you win a prize, because that was amazing. He would get on stage and he would start shaking his hips, and it was just like being in the rural states. Christianity is pretty strong, and when Jimmy Ichu started shaking his hips, it would be quite the controversy in these small communities, 100-person communities. But he was definitely the Arctic Elvis, winking at ladies in the crowd, and I remember just seeing him and really idolizing, saying that's very cool what he was doing. But imagine performing 45-minute set in sealskin Elvis costume. You got to overheat.
Whatever happened to the costume when he passed away, do you know?
That's a very good question. We know his son, and his son and his widowed, continue to come to our shows, because we used to cover one of his songs, and they're very happy that we're doing that to kind of keep his music living on. But I'm going to ask them next time to see what happened with that suit. I wonder, because it should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, really.
What is Tunic Time? It's like a music festival that started in 65?
Yeah, Tunic Time is the spring festival in Iqaluit, and that's a very beautiful time for anybody who's dreaming or hitchhiking their way to Iqaluit. It runs about the first or second week of April, and it's amazing. They have dog team races and igloo building competitions and seal hunting competitions, and it's really a great time where lots of springtime is gorgeous, because it warms up to a beautiful minus 10 and there's still lots of snow on the ground. So that's a beautiful spring festival that lots of people come from all over the place, actually, to come and check it out.
For music festivals and stuff, there's you guys, the Jerry Cans, and Nick mentioned a band called The Trade-Offs played the year before, played the Mineral Conference. Were you guys the two rock bands, quote, from Iqaluit for a long time?
Yeah, big time. It's still a very small scene, and it's very hard to keep a band together. There's lots of people coming to town and leaving and having kids and this and that. So The Trade-Offs, they're our brother, sister, cousin band. And they're doing awesome too. They have a big album coming out in the next few months, and they'll be right on the Canadian scene in that time. But there are definitely, we're only the two bands for sure. Such a small scene, and we always our drummer plays with them, and their drummer plays with us, and we're all beautiful, beautiful musical incest.
There was a picture of a guy with a mohawk singing with you that I saw. You were playing, I think, like an airplane hangar or some dance, and there was a guy with a mohawk. Who was that?
I don't know who that was, but I think it may have been our late friend Joey Amak from, he was in the circus, the Nunavut Circus, and he played in another band, Kikukia, which if we came on the show, we would have shared some of their music with you as well. But yeah, he was a very good friend of ours who had passed away about a year ago, but he was in an up-and-coming band too, and the world-renowned Igloolik Circus. Igloolik's a very cool art town, and they have a Nunavut Circus. And if you ever have a chance to see them, they performed at the Olympics here in Vancouver, actually. But we would always jam with him. And I think that picture is from our time jamming with our buddy Joey.
And we're speaking here to Andrew from the Jerry Cans from Iqaluit, who are playing this Saturday and Sunday at the Vancouver Folk Music Festival, The Grind and Brew. The Grind and Brew.
The Grind and Brew. It's the most wonderful coffee shop in the entire world, almost north of 60. It's where my love and I, Nancy, met. We were hanging out in springtime when all the snow is melting and all the garbage emerges. It's very romantic, actually. There's a broken-down gas station, and all the boats are there, and the skidoos are driving by. It's right on the beach, and it has the most mediocre coffee in the world, but it's delicious to us. And, Nancy and I met on the picnic table at the Grind and Brew.
Is there any competition to the Grind and Brew? Like, is there a Tim Hortons there now? Are there any chains in Iqaluit?
Oh, yes. There's the Dirty Tim Hortons, and then Starbucks just opened. So we're slowly moving into this commercial coffee world. But we're very much diehard Grind and Brew, loyal Grind and Brew customers. So we're okay with passing on a Tim Hortons and Starbucks. We'll take a Grind and Brew any day.
What about the snack or the Arctic Ventures Marketplace?
The snack is also quite the... when you come and visit us in Ardwar, we'll definitely do a 3 a.m. snack delivery. It's 24 hours, kind of greasy spoon. Been shut down a few times for different questionable business activities. But now it's clean and it's serves more poutine, I think, per capita than anywhere in Canada, probably. But it's the late night place. They'll deliver anytime. And man, snack attack. That's all you got to yell. And
when you say okay. Late night, is it light all the time?
Light night. Yeah, that's what I should be saying. It's light all the time right now. Yep. All the time right now.
So does that mean everything is 24 hours or does it still maintain? Like, would the snack be more happening at a different time?
No. The normal kind of 9 to 5 day still runs the show in the summertime, but will be up until 3-4 in the morning, then get up for work in the morning. Like, you just have lots of energy in the snack. Yeah, around 2 a.m. when the Legion closes, that's when the snack gets busy again for about 3 or 4 hours, and it's still bright out, so you still can go right to work at 3 in the morning.
And when you're in Iqaluit, there are no addresses. Everything is sort of like building numbers?
Yeah, you just say, if you hop in a cab and they say, where are you going? You say 346, house 453. And so all the house numbers, you just go to a house number and they're not laid out logically at all. It's just sort of whichever development. So the developments kind of happen all over the place and then it just keeps climbing up the number scale. But yeah, they implemented street names now, but nobody uses them, and they're all kind of ridiculous names, randomly chosen Inuktitut words. But yeah, so everybody just uses the house numbers.
Could you guys get a street named after you if nobody uses them?
I don't know. Should we get a street name named after us? Jerry Cans Lane, Jerry Cans Crescent? I don't know.
Well, I was just thinking, because if people aren't really using the street names, you'd be like, well, if you're not using it, just give it to us.
Just give it to us. Yeah, we could just replace the street signs with our own, a good promotion, billboard.
And the buildings in Iqaluit, they have no windows on them? There's not many windows?
Some of them. They have windows now, but like in the summertime when it's so light out, it's hard to sleep. We put tinfoil on all of our windows so our daughters can sleep and so we can sleep. So it's light all the time. And I think that was, back in the day, there was a design concept that less windows would let less heat escape. Like, it was better for heat efficiency. So for a while there was like a building period where there weren't a lot of windows, and there were some very unique buildings built. But now they're kind of the technology, 3-ply windows or whatever they're called. They're we're learning the way of the window.
There are poo pipes everywhere?
Oh yeah, all over the place. Not all over the place, but some run through town. You know, it's a town built on the challenges of permafrost is a big thing that the ground is frozen. So all the houses are on stilts as well. And yeah, there's lots of pipes that run through town and it's beautiful.
Do they ever explode?
I don't think there's ever been explosion. Not in my lifetime anyway.
Just with all the poo pipes going around, I was wondering if, you know, there might have been a problem. You know, a car crashes into a poo pipe, and then not only is there like a bent car, there's some bent poo everywhere.
Bent poo, bent car poo.
That's an Iqaluit.
No, not.
That's an Iqaluit. Yeah. The first permanent inhabitant of Iqaluit, they actually have a name for the guy, was Nakasuk.
Nakasuk, yeah.
Yes. Is he still alive?
No. Nakasuk would be very... he would have passed on many, many years ago. But this one of the schools with very few windows is named after him.
I thought that was cool that they actually, you know, named it right. Actually, the actual person that actually was the first person. I just love that.
Well, you remember, there's lots of a history of resettlement up north. So lots of times families were... Iqaluit, the place would have been a kind of spot for people to stop in the spring and summer. Iqaluit means lots of fish. And so there's a few rivers around the town. And we have beautiful Arctic char, and that's what's happening right now. So we're kind of missing it. But so families and would come around, and they would be semi-nomadic, keep moving around, but then it was settled. So people were kind of encouraged, very strongly encouraged to settle. And I think that's probably when Nakashuk would probably have been the first person registered to live there.
Andrew, from the Jerrycans from Iqaluit, touring bands to Iqaluit. You're touring here to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, playing the Folk Music Festival. The White Stripes, they actually played an arena in Iqaluit?
We remember it. Yes, the White Stripes came, and I'm not sure exactly what it was. They were doing, trying to play all of the places that I guess don't get much music. And they came up and they played They played an awesome arena, tiny little arena show in Iqaluit, and I remember they broke a window during sound check, and they left quite an impact on all of the little up-and-coming musicians in the community at whole. It was an awesome show. I remember it perfectly.
Were they one of the only bands that has played there?
Well, bands come for Tunic Time, and they come for the festival, but to have like a one-off show is very rare, and for the White Stripes to make that happen, that whole Nunavut territory was instantly White Stripes fans. Like, it was so cool to see everybody was just behind them. And they put on an awesome show, and it was a big event for lots of people.
But no other bands have played anywhere else in Iqaluit, like bigger bands? Like, for instance, years ago, Hole played for like 500 kids for $500,000 in like Tuktoyaktuk, you know, in the north. Has that ever happened, where bands have been flown in for like a Sailor Jerry promotion or something like that?
I think I remember the Red Hot Chili Peppers were up there, and I remember the Elves. This is what I've heard. I don't know if it's true, but I remember the Sox were not so okay with the Elders, because Elders always get reserved seating in the front row. And I remember that there was a bit of tension between the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing in Iqaluit and the Elders plugging their ears in the first row. But I can't confirm whether or not that's an Iqaluit urban legend or not.
Where can you play on Baffin Island? Where have you played in the Jerrycans on Baffin Island?
Any communities you mean, or venues?
Just venues, communities. Like, how many places are there? Like, can you get in your van and drive? Or
no, not at all. Not at all. You have to fly everywhere up north. That's why we're super happy to be in Vancouver, because it's very rare that we are able to. It's very expensive to get down here. But there's about 8, I think, communities on Baffin Island, and we have played in about 4 or 5 of them, which is a major, like, that it takes a lot of resources to do that. And, like, we all have jobs because it's so damn expensive to live up there.
Are you
so
flying in versus, like, in a float plane?
No. They have jets, like, jets and little twin otters and dashes. And it's not like water landing planes. They have airports in all the communities and stuff. But still, it's just so expensive to get there that that's what makes it more challenging.
What's it like in Rankin Inlet?
We played Rankin Inlet. It's awesome. It's one of the caribou capitals. So caribou is the main mainstay there. Delicious, delicious caribou. And Rankin is a beautiful town. It's, of course, the home of Jordan Tutu, the hockey star, Nunavut's hockey star. And so it's a very much a sport. There's lots of sports there, but there's also a really up-and-coming music scene, which is really cool.
What's it playing like in northern Quebec? Because you've played northern Quebec too, right?
Yeah, in Nunavik it's called. So that's the kind of the land claims area in northern Quebec. It's called Nunavik. And we've played, I think, in about 3 communities there. And it's so cool because it's very similar to Nunavut. Lots of the Inuktitut, that's the language. Lots of the dialect is very similar. But it has this very cool French influence. And the communities are the same size. Lots of the same activities, same events. And our music gets played a lot there, so people are really appreciative when we come there. I think it's like Iqaluit. Not many bands come through, so when they do, people are really appreciative of it.
Are you sometimes the first rock band that these people have actually heard in these places?
Not heard. There's lots of radio and lots of, like, everybody has access to the South, and people have internet in all the communities and stuff. But I think that it's cool for people to see live music, and that's the major the thing that is really cool about what we do with traveling to these small communities. There's some very cool festivals, and I think Nunavik is cool because I think that Quebec French influence also, they really, really put on lots of music festivals and concerts and really support the arts, and that doesn't always happen in Nunavut. It does to a certain extent, but Nunavik is just so cool because they always have great festivals.
And Andrew, you also played in your band, the Jerrycans. We're speaking to Andrew from the Jerrycans from Iqaluit. You also played Greenland.
Yes, we've made our way to Nuuk. Nuuk, it's the farthest, closest destination in Nunavut because it's about an hour and a half away by plane, which is close on our terms. And it's also unique in its own way because there's the language is also similar. It's a little bit different, but it's Inuktitut language based in the same kind of language family. And Nuuk was very cool because it has this Danish European influence that makes it a bit of a very unique place to go to. But people our music videos about seal hunting and stuff play on Greenland National Television. So that's kind of cool. And have a few invitations to go back there. But Greenland is also like it's lots of very cool things happen there.
For food, the North Mart is ripping us off. Go to Baffin Canners instead.
Yeah, North Mart. I listen to some bands that they have very poetic lyrics, and sometimes I have no idea what they're talking about. So I was wanting to write a song about grocery shopping in the North because it's kind of an issue that's made it a bit into the news, just with high food prices, and crazy food prices. And I was trying to figure out how to poetically express that, and I figured that we just get straight to the point, and the song is called North Mart is Ripping Us Off. And that's the main grocery store in Iqaluit and lots of the communities. It's called the Northern Store. And lots of the rural communities in British Columbia, too. The Northern Stores are all over Canada, ripping people off all over the place. And Baffin Canners is a little family-run store in Iqaluit that we go to. But we've modified the lyrics, playing in the South, to go to your co-op. So there's a little bit of I guess that's a political song in a way.
All ready for CPAC.
Yeah, exactly. We should have played that, eh? Last minute audible.
Now that you're down out of Iqaluit, are the stuff you want to bring back there, what is really expensive that you could like bring a whole bunch back with you and make some money on the side? What is really the expensive item that gets you upset?
Well, it's a few things. I just went to a delicatessen. They don't have these in Nunavut. And bought probably $60 worth of sliced ham, which I was very happy about. And some Swiss cheese, which was also awesome. But also a very expensive thing up north is beer. There's no liquor stores in Nunavut, and in some communities, it's all dry. There's no liquor at all allowed. So sometimes we come and stash up on beer and some wine and stuff, but they're actually talking about opening a beer and wine store. But that's the main thing. Also clothes. Nancy loves shopping clothes. Food. Lots of times you'll see people at the airport in Ottawa or Edmonton with giant coolers full of meat and cheese and beer and, oh, man. Yeah.
How about medical marijuana? How hard is it to get medical marijuana in Iqaluit?
Well, I think it is difficult, but not that difficult. I have a friend of a friend who is able to order it. They order it. It comes in the mail and you get your card and that's that.
Are there any psychedelics in the North that you would recommend at all, Andrew, from the Jerry Cans? Like, are there any crazy mushrooms or stuff we don't have down here?
This is maybe an urban legend, but I've heard that there's something similar to mushrooms in Nunavut, a magic mushroom-style thing. And there's a few mushrooms, but there's always this competition of saying, no, you try it first. So we haven't confirmed that or denied that. We don't know. But supposedly there's some sort of hallucinogenic mushroom, and I don't know. I haven't heard of anybody doing it, but we just heard whispers in the wind.
And winding up here with Andrew from the Jerry Cans playing the Vancouver Folk Music Festival tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday again. Maybe tell the people a bit about your website and how people can find your music and where you're playing again tomorrow and the times.
Well, you can check the band out, thejerrycans.com. We have a website there that has some tunes and some merchandise and sweaters and Jerry Cans junk. And there's a link to our Facebook, too. Our Facebook is pretty active with stories and tour stuff. If you want to follow a bunch of Northerners discovering the glories of the South, we have often post pictures and stories of funny things that happen on our Facebook. And iTunes, our music is up on iTunes, and maplemusic.com has some stuff there, but we always love to share our music. And I thank you, Nardwar, for talking to us. And the North is a place that lots of people have interest in but don't always have the opportunity to learn about. So it's always cool for us to share these kind of things.
And you're sharing it again when tomorrow at the Folk Music Festival on Sunday? What time?
We have a workshop at 11:15 tomorrow, and then we have a full day on Sunday of workshops and performance at 10:15 on stage 5, I think it is, but we're closing down a stage. It's going to be a super fun time, and we're going to be overheating and sunburned, so come check us out.
Bring your fermented walrus. What is fermented walrus?
It's igunak. Say it with me, Nardwar. Igunak.
Igunak.
Yeah, and it's almost igunak time, and it is, you get a walrus and you butcher it up and you wrap the meat up in its own skin and then bury it for what I hear is about 3 weeks. There's Igloolik is also the capital of Igunak, and you take it out and it will either clear a room, or it's a super delicacy because it has a strong, strong smell and it is delicious. And it actually, there is not your hallucinogenic, but it gets you a bit woozy. The fermented meat gets you a little bit woozy for sure.
And
you start yawning.
And the frozen caribou is raw too. Not too much is cooked, is it?
We perfected the technique of an appetizer of delicious cut-off chunks with your axe, frozen caribou with a little bit of soy sauce or wasabi, and then you let it melt a bit, then fry it up with some onions, and it's a delicious meal.
Is it sort of like a Slurpee?
No, it's kind of like it's kind of like a steak that you don't cook. It's delicious.
I am Nardwar the Human Serviette. You are Andrew from the Jerry Cans. There is also a narwhale. Narwhale. Nardwar. Nardwhale. What's narwhale like?
It's also narwhale season. I keep saying it's everything season, but right now it's summertime. The boats are out on the water hunting for everything that delicious that you can think of. Narwhale, we eat the skin, the outside part. So it looks beautiful and it tastes... It kind of tastes a bit nutty, I find, like an almond or cashew. And you cut it up into little tiny pieces and dip it in, again, soy sauce. Soy sauce is the other traditional food up north. And you just munch. And, oh, my goodness, there's people. We just caught up north in our community 2 beluga whales. So they're eating fresh muttaf. Everybody's super happy and celebrating that. And we wish we were there. But narwhale is another one. And you dry the meat to make a jerky and eat those together, and they're delicious with a little hot sauce.
So Nardwar can eat the narwhale.
Yeah, you will. We'll make you. No, it's up to you. You can eat it if you want, but bring your own soy sauce.
So if people are excited and want to relocate their band to Iqaluit, how much does it cost, for instance, to ship vinyl to the Arctic? Like, you're a band, you've got your vinyl made, and now you want your record shipped up to where you guys are.
But before you do, we ordered 500 vinyls. So Vancouver, if you can help us get rid of some vinyl, there's probably 12 record players in all of Nunavut. So we ordered a bunch, and it was expensive. Oh, thousands of dollars to get that vinyl up there. And but we brought some down south where other people have records, apparently, record players. So we're hoping to sell some. But it's expensive, man. We would have spent about $12,000 to $15,000 getting from Iqaluit to Ottawa. I paid... From Iqaluit to Montreal for Nancy and I, $3,700. $3,700 to get...
Incredible.
It's quite the obstacle to trying to be a touring band, but that's why we appreciate it so much when people come and hang out and dance and hang out with us.
Is there a record store there? Is there a place for you to sell your stuff? Is there a cool thrift store to get old vinyl?
No, not really. There's a few places to sell. We sell at the local airport store and the museum, and sure, like kind of not your conventional record store, but you can get them up in Iqaluit. But we're hoping to drop some off in Vancouver. If anybody has any tips on cool local record shops, we try and drop them off, drop little packages off, caches, I guess, wherever we go, so we leave our mark. But no, definitely no music shop up there.
And Andrew from the Jerry Cans, lastly here, is there a hole in the earth near Baffin Island? There's all that mystery about, like, the hollow earth and special entrances and secret caves where Nazi scientists are underground hiding out there after the war, you know, like the secret caves and stuff. Is there a hole in the earth at Baffin Island? Have you heard about that?
I don't know. I have walked quite a bit around. I haven't noticed any holes, but maybe ask Nick from the Mineral Conference. They're making all the holes in the earth right now. So,
ba-boom!
I don't know. I haven't seen them. There's some things up there, though. There's things called earth eggs that are very kind of special items you can find on land. You're not supposed to touch them because that will trigger the end of the earth, the end of the world. So there's those, but no holes. Maybe that's how it starts.
And right now, we're going to play a selection by the Jerry Cans. We're going to play Quadrant to Tak. Yes.
Yeah, perfect.
What is that song about?
This song is about, Kanuingituk means it's all good, it doesn't matter. And it's about me being a white dude trying to learn Inuktitut and how much fun it is and how difficult it is and how no matter what happens, I'm still going to do it because I have two beautiful daughters and I'm going to make sure they learn.
And who else is in the band again for the people that maybe just tuned in right now? Who else are they going to hear in this recording? Because you have some throat singing going on in your band too, don't you?
Yeah, that's Nancy Mike, my wife. She's the throat singer in the band, and she plays accordion as well. And then we have Gina Burgess, who plays fiddle. And then Steve Rigby plays the drums, and our friend Robert Obey, plays the bass.
Well, thanks so much for phoning into the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, Andrew, from the Jerry Cans. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
No, I just want to hope to see everybody. It's so cool to be in Vancouver. I've never really been here before. So, yeah, we'd love to tell you some more about narwhals, Nardwuar.
Why should people care about the Jerry Cans? Why should people care?
I think people should care more about learning more about the North and how the North is part of Canada and what all the cool stuff that goes on up there. I think that most of the stories you hear are not so pleasant, and that's not all of the picture of what's happening in the North. So it's important to come out and find out some more about what happens in Nunavut.
Well, thanks so much, Andrew, to Jerry Cans. Keep on rocking in the free world and do-do-da-loot-do.
Thank you. 자랑이 중요.